So we're going to open our Bibles, hopefully to page 1089. And Sarah's going to read for us. I'm going to turn up page 1089, see what that turns up for us. It is page 1089, verses 19 to 31.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
And so today we're going to begin a short series of reflections, reflecting on the event of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. After all, it's Easter season, and it's worth taking a few weeks to reflect on this great theme. It is the resurrection that lies at the heart of the Christian faith. It is on Easter morning that the world changed. It is because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead that all of history changed, and a new possibility, new opportunity, new life emerges from that singular moment. I find it interesting that when you read through the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, as the disciples of Jesus are filled with the Holy Spirit, and as they begin their journeys out from the center of the nation of Israel, out from Jerusalem, and they travel out and they meet other people and they share what they term is the good news, the gospel, the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is right at the heart of what they say, the life-transforming news that Jesus has been raised from the dead, that is top of their agendas. That's the one thing that they focus upon, to say everything changes because Jesus has been raised from the dead. In fact, there are times at which the disciples, as they proclaim this good news, they will say quite deliberately to people, "You killed him. You are responsible for the death of Jesus, but God is greater than death itself. And God raised Jesus to life again. And so we see this theme of resurrection in the earliest church and then continuing, that God has raised Jesus from the dead and life will never be the same again. And so over these next few weeks, as I say, we're going to reflect on different aspects of how the resurrection impacts our lives, how it engages with us, and how we can receive, as it were, the good news of resurrection into our daily lives and discover the life, the resurrection life of Jesus in our daily lives. Now, I put a question mark at the end of the title here because I guess that we do come with questions about the resurrection, and I do hope that you'll be open. If you do have questions, feel free to ask the questions and I'll do my best to answer them. I can't promise that I'll be able to answer them, but I'll do my best. But hopefully, as we go through these next few weeks, you will have your questions answered as we focus in this way. Four key words: love, life, hope, affirmation. There we go. Love, life, hope, affirmation. Those are our 4 points for today that I'll just quickly, I say quickly, that's another thing I always say, and then about half an hour later I say, right, that's the end of my first point. Love, life, hope, and affirmation. We begin with love. What has love to do with the resurrection? And it's simply this: the power by which God raised Jesus from the dead is love. The power by which God raises Jesus from the dead is the great power of love. Now, how might we know that? Well, we know that all that God does is empowered by love, because God is love. We are told that explicitly in the Bible. God is love. That's stated in our Bibles, and we can read it for ourselves. And so that what that means is that everything that God does emanates from that center of love. God is love. So when God raises Jesus from the dead, it is the power that God uses to raise Jesus from the dead. It is the power of love. We are also told in the Bible that love is stronger than death itself. Whatever death can throw at you, love is stronger than death. And so we have to note that what has resurrection got to do with love? It is that the power with which God raises Jesus from the dead is love. And we need to receive that for ourselves today. That love is the greatest power in the universe. Love is the greatest power in the universe. We grieve when we lose friends, when we lose family. We grieve because we love. Love connects us with people. Love ties us to people. Sometimes we feel, perhaps we wish we didn't love somebody in the way that we do, but we do. There is no greater power in the universe than the power of love, and it is the power of love that God uses to raise Jesus from the dead. So, love, life. When God raises Jesus from the dead, God does something that has not been seen before. There are, I think, about 8 or 9 other examples in the Bible that we can read, and you might be able to tell them, mention them all to me afterwards. That's something to think about if you get distracted for a moment. But I think there are 8 or 9 other examples in the Bible where people come back to life having been dead. The one perhaps that everyone remembers is the story of Lazarus that is recorded for us in John's Gospel. And Lazarus has died because he's ill. He dies and he's placed in a tomb. And it's after 4 days, we're actually told that after 4 days, Jesus goes and he weeps over his friend Lazarus's tomb. A sign of his love. That's what people say. See how much he loved him. And then Jesus calls Lazarus forth, says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out of the grave. Now, what we have in the example of Lazarus, and in fact in the all the other examples in the Bible apart from Jesus, is that people, as it were, they live their lives and then they get to a point where their life ends, they die. And so we can imagine some kind of journey that they take through life from birth. They journey through life, they get to death, and they die, and perhaps they're placed in a tomb. And then when they are raised from the dead, however that happens, whether that's through the word of Jesus or through one of the prophets in the Old Testament, when they are raised to life again, they go back to living their life as it was before. And that's true of all the examples that we see in the Bible. But there's something unusual and extraordinary that we come across when we think about the resurrection of Jesus. Because in the example of Jesus, we don't simply have Jesus being born, living his life and dying, and then God raising him that he might live his life again and then die again. What happens in resurrection is that somehow, as Jesus has been born, he lives his life, he gets to a point where he dies, he is crucified, and that's all laid out for us. He's laid in the tomb, and what happens is that God, from beyond the grave, calls Jesus, and Jesus steps through death itself into a new life. Everyone else goes back to their old life. Jesus is called through death to life beyond death. Do we get that? Yes, thank you. Yeah, I was just looking at you. But that's so important for us to realize. That's what's going on with resurrection. Now, I recognize that for all of us, I guess, if we could sometimes just have that experience, not just of resurrection, but even if when we come to that point in our own lives where it feels like we've died or some experience has come to an end and we want a new sense of life, we would give a lot just to be brought back to life, to relive it again, to go through it again, even if it has to end again. But what resurrection offers us is life through death, is life the other side of death, where God calls to us and says, you no longer have to live in the way that you were living before, but you can go through life and experience, through death, and you can experience life truly in all its fullness. And that is the power of resurrection. God raises Jesus from the dead using the power, great power of love, which is who God is. And God calls Jesus through death to somehow the other side of death, to life. Life truly in all its fullness. And when Jesus, in John's Gospel chapter 10, he says to the people, I've come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. He's not just saying, I'm going to give you life with a cherry on top. You know, I'm going to give you life that's somehow a bit better than everybody else's life. He's saying, look, we need God to call you from beyond the grave. And we need to invite you to live the life that is resurrection life, but to live it in the present. We need that life right here and now. So resurrection is about love. Resurrection is about life. Resurrection is about hope. Resurrection is about hope. What the resurrection of Jesus from the dead teaches us is that God is able to break the power of death. God is able to break the power of death. There is one certainty that we all face, and it's one day we're going to die. Isn't that right? That's a happy thought. But it's true. We're all going to die. One day, we will all be dead. And when I die, I'll be put in a coffin, and I don't know whether I'll be cremated. I don't think we've decided, have we, what we're going to do. But it'll happen, you know. They'll put me in a grave, and they'll throw dirt on my coffin, and that'll be it. And that's the reality. That we are all going to die, and there's no getting out of that. There are those who say, "Well, surely if we can engineer somehow our bodies that they might live longer, possibly even engineer our bodies to live forever." But the reality of our bodies is they're designed to end. That's the biology of our bodies. They're designed that we might live and we might die. Resurrection gives us hope, because resurrection teaches us that God has the power to break the power of death. The power of love breaks the power of death. The inevitability that all of us will die doesn't go away. But because God's love is stronger than death, God gives us hope, because that love calls us to a greater life, and that gives us hope. This life is not all that there is, but there is more. There is more, and the invitation is, as we place our trust and our faith and our allegiance on Jesus, that God, by his grace and by filling us with his Spirit, begins to give us resurrection life. Life, as it were, from beyond death, he gives us, and he empowers us to live that life. But there's another aspect to this as well, in terms of hope and God breaking the power of death, is we've all, I guess, we all know of people who have died, where they have come to the end of their natural life, and we've perhaps held a funeral service or Thanksgiving service and so on for them. But I'm also aware that for some of us, we live as if death is already happening to us. We live with a perspective on life that feels as though it has the shadow of death all over it. And so we might say of a particular situation, this is hopeless. We say, I can't do that. You know, we say, we are negative about ourselves. We are negative about possibilities. I remember somebody saying to me, a Christian, quite almost proudly saying, I'm a pessimist, you know. And I thought, crikey, well, you can't be a Christian and a pessimist. The two don't go together. You're either one or the other. Because the resurrection gives us hope. You see, what I'm talking about is that we can live with the shadow of death upon us in the present, in the here and now. Not in terms of our physical lives, our natural life has ended, but just in terms of our attitude and our outlook and our lack of positivity and our lack of trust in God, we live with that shadow over us of hopelessness. But God, in raising Jesus from the dead, has broken the power of death and gives us hope. I was listening just this week, I think it was either on the radio or a podcast or something, and people were talking about politics and how politics depends upon hopelessness. It thrives on hopelessness. Politicians want us to be hopeless so that they can offer us hope. But then we discover that their hope is no hope at all. Our whole society, our culture, is built on this spirit of hopelessness and pessimism. Why are we so enamoured by war? Because the shadow of death covers us. And we don't know any alternative to death and dying and war and fighting and violence. But resurrection says, no, there is a better way. There is a better way because God has broken the power of death. Do not any longer live under the shadow of death or within the power of death. There is a better way. And so resurrection is about love. It's about the power of God that is love. It's about life, life in all its fullness. It is about resurrection life that is given to us by the Holy Spirit as day by day we seek to follow the Lord Jesus. And resurrection is about hope, not just about an afterlife, but in the here and now, that we might live with positivity and optimism and trust and faith in the living God, that the livingness of God might be present with us every single day. And whenever we reach an obstacle, whenever we get stuck, whenever we seem to run out, we can look to God, the one who raises the dead, and says, and we can say to him, Lord, you're the one who raises the dead. Grant me life in this situation. And then this final word, affirmation. The resurrection speaks to us about affirmation. God is big on affirmation. This is God speaking over you and saying yes to you. This is God speaking over you and saying yes to you. This is God speaking over his creation and saying it is good. And not simply it is good, but at the end of creation, at the end of Genesis 1 into Genesis 2, God said it is very good. God is a God of affirmation. And I recognize that so many of us have been brought up within a church culture which says that you're a dirty sinner and you're bad and you're awful and all the rest of it, and this is how God thinks of you. And I want to say this can't be further from the truth. God declares, it is good, you are good. Original sin is sometimes the thing that is spoken about. But if original sin, if there is such a thing, doesn't come from Genesis 1, it comes from Genesis 3. And if you go back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, you have original goodness, where God declares goodness over all creation. God is a God of affirmation. The story I tell over and over again. When Jesus is baptized, he comes up out of the water and God declares, you're my son, I love you. I am pleased with you. God is a God of affirmation. And what do we see in the resurrection about affirmation? The passage that, the Bible passage that Sarah read for us, tells the story of how Jesus appeared among his disciples. And at first they're afraid because they think they have seen a ghost. But he says, peace be with you. And then Thomas, who wasn't there, says, well, I don't believe you. I don't believe this happened. And, you know, we call him Doubting Thomas. I think he was just a realist. Thomas knows that the dead don't rise. He knows that when you die, you're dead. That's it. He knew Jesus had died. And so he challenges them. Well, I'm not going to believe. Not unless I can touch him. Not unless I can touch his resurrected body. And so a week later, Jesus appears and invites him. Reach out your hands, touch, see the nail prints. Put your hands in my side, a hand in my side, and touch me. You see, Jesus is raised bodily from the dead. Jesus is raised bodily from the dead. And the scars of what humanity had done to him remain with him. But he's raised bodily. The resurrection gives affirmation of our bodies. The resurrection gives affirmation of our bodies. You may want to just think about that for a second. How many of us have ever thought, I hate my body? I won't ask you to respond. Again, our culture is one of, let's make you dissatisfied with your body. Because then we can sell you all these products to help you improve your body. And we can go into all sorts of spirals of negativity about our body. And so we cling to the idea that when I die, I will be free of my body. What does the resurrection teach us? That when God raised Jesus from the dead, he did it bodily. He raised the body of Jesus from the dead. And when God raises you from the dead, he's not going to leave the body behind in the grave. God will raise you, body and soul, from the dead, because that's what he did with Jesus. Now, how God will do that, apart from using the power of love, I really don't know how God's going to do it. It's one of those wow moments when God will raise us from the dead and we will be resurrected and we will be together bodily with Jesus, and we will look at Jesus and say, wow, I don't understand how you did that, but that was amazing. And we will bow down and worship him in awe and wonder at what he has done. God, in raising Jesus from the dead, affirms bodiliness and says to us, look after your bodies. They are beautiful. They are wonderfully made. You have been knit together by God. Look after your bodies. Be good to yourself. And this is God's affirmation in resurrection. And so this morning, I simply want to share those four thoughts. That resurrection reminds us about love, about life, about hope, and about affirmation. In the coming weeks, we're going to think about what it means that the resurrection evokes the declaration Jesus is Lord. We're going to think about how resurrection brings forth forgiveness in a very powerful and personal way. We're going to think about how resurrection anticipates the gift of the Holy Spirit. But all of that is to come. Today, it's about life, about love and life and hope and affirmation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the good news. God has raised Jesus from the dead. Life will never be the same again because Jesus is alive. And Father, we pray that our reflection today might stay with us. I pray that day by day we'll be reminded of resurrection, of love, of life, of hope, and of affirmation. I pray that your call for us to experience resurrection life might resonate deep within. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that we might know the resurrection life of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.